Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue is implementing a new defensive scheme this season under first-year coordinator Bob Diaco through the first week of camp. Is it beginning to take shape? We'll break that down. Let's talk some other camp notes, maybe a little recruiting as well on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters here, Tom Dienhart, Brian Uberpie in just a couple of minutes. All right, Tommy, first week of camp. Defense was in focus over the weekend. You had a chance to talk to Diaco and some linebackers. What are your thoughts? I mean, without, you know, the chance, which we're not going to have here during this camp, to see this group in person, what's the feeling about how that new scheme is coming together?
Yeah, you're right. Talk to Diaco, Jalen Alexander, Derek Barnes, and the junior college transfer, big DeMarcus Mitchell. And, yeah, you know, the defense, it's a work in progress, Kyle. They're installing the scheme. I asked Diaco, you know, is your base a 3-4? And, you know, he said, hey, they're all state secrets. You know, everybody's got a film of you and know what you do. But he was quick to point out that they do play as much four-down linemen as three-down linemen. So that was a hunch I think we all knew was the case. So they're going to be able to morph back and forth from that 3-4 to a 4-3, depending on the situation, depending on the opponent. And, again, they're just trying to get personnel fitted, Kyle. And, yeah, he's got some interesting linebackers to work with, and no doubt Derek Barnes is going to have to be a leader in that. DeMarcus Mitchell, again, the JC, he's going to have to be a stud off the edge, Kyle.
Yeah, interesting, I think, is a good way to put it with that linebacker group, because it does seem like anytime you're running a multiple front, I'll go ahead and call it a 3-4 defense, those linebackers are key, and Purdue has some question marks. They're not that those guys can't succeed, but we don't know. I mean, outside of Derek Barnes, who played the position a couple of years ago, there's really not a whole lot of known commodities at those four spots, right?
Yeah, Jalen Alexander saw quite a bit of action last year, a true junior from Hoffman Estates up there near Chicago. So he's got his feet more than wet. He's going to have to be a key player on the inside. Derek Barnes said he is also going to play on the inside. So you're right, Barnes moving back to linebacker, where last year, of course, he played on the line at that Leo spot, Kyle, the hybrid linebacker defensive end. And I'll be honest, he was pretty darn good up front, especially late in the year, got a lot of pressure. I think he tied George Karloftis for the team lead in sacks as well. He was a playmaker, so they're subtracting him from up front, putting him back at his natural linebacker spot. He's trimmed his body up. Diaco likes the guy. He's got to be a leader. So, again, Derek Barnes, it's no shock to say this. He's probably going to have to be close to, you know, at least a guy who earned some type of All-Big Ten mention. This defense is going to be as good as a lot of people hope it is.
Does Purdue have a difference maker, a linebacker? That's the question for me, right? Because, I mean, over the last several years, especially in Nick Holt's defense, there's needed to be a guy who is going to, you know, make a difference. I mean, whether it's Marcus Bailey or Juwan Bentley before that. I don't know. Does Purdue have that guy?
Yeah, I think, you know, if it's not Barnes, it's got to be Mitchell. And I would circle Mitchell with my red Sharpie, to be honest with you, is the guy I think has got to be the difference maker. 6'3", 260 pounds. He's going to play, again, on that edge. He said he's going to play, you know, that cat spot. So, you know, that's to the boundary side of the field. So he's a guy that we could see with his hand in the dirt from time to time as well, coming off the edge, more like a defensive end position. The guy was a good enough athlete his first year in junior college, Kyle, to be a running back. He's obviously gotten bigger, stronger. He's still quick. And he seems like he's a well-liked teammate, too, if you're talking to Derek Barnes or even Bob Diaco. So I think that's good, too. He's been welcomed in. He's translating into him being that difference maker at linebacker for Purdue.
You know, with this new scheme, Tom, we talk a lot about what Purdue does in the front, and deservedly so. But, man, if Purdue could stand to make some improvements, it might be in that back half of that defense. We've talked a little bit previously about personnel changes back there, but will they do anything schematically different in the back half this year as part of Diaco's defense? Do you know?
I do not know. didn't ask me about coverage preferences in the back end. If he's a press guy, plays more zone.
Yeah.
Talk to people in Nebraska. He was a little bit more vanilla typically in Nebraska. We'll see. I'm sure your personnel dictates a lot of what you want to do schematically. I will
right.
say this. While, yeah, we all expect improvement from the back end, I think they have a chance to be well coached with Greg Brown and Anthony Poindexter. But more than anything, Kyle, I do think there's some talent back there. you know, you're getting an injection of a couple transfers. Giovante Howard, of course, the JC guy, the cornerback. Kyle, he didn't come to sit on the bench. Tyler Coyle, the UConn grad transfer, he's going to play safety, but he's also, I think, going to play some of that dog spot, like an outside linebacker, and that's where Jalen Graham's going to play too. Those guys can shift back and forth from safety to outside linebacker. And DJ Johnson, of course, the Iowa grad transfer cornerback, if he gets that waiver to be eligible this year, that's another veteran talent. You plug in returnees like Brennan Thieneman, Simeon Smiley, Dedrick Mackey. I guess long story short is I think there's some promising talent back there, too. And also don't forget about Cam Allen, who made a splash as a true freshman safety last year, too.
Yeah. So with Johnson, is that just a matter of the season being delayed and thus there hasn't been the the pressure to get that made by the NCAA, or what's the scoop there? I mean, if the season would have started on time, would we still be waiting to see if he was going to be eligible or what?
Yeah, who knows? You know, it's probably sitting on somebody's inbox down in Indianapolis waiting to get a rubber stamp, because we asked Jeff Brom of the status of that waiver. I think it was on Wednesday. We spoke September 30th, and Jeff said it's still pending, and they didn't anticipate any issues. So sort of leads you to think that, again, it's just a matter of time before, again, it gets rubber stamped. But like you said, Kyle, what's the holdup, you know?
Yeah. All right, one guy who is pretty key to the whole defense is Lorenzo Neal. I feel like I was a young man the last time Lorenzo Neal played for Purdue. Does seem like it's been forever ago, in part because it has been forever ago. What's his status? I mean, is he going to be able to make it back, return to form, and maybe return even to better form than what we last saw him a couple of years ago?
Yeah, you've had two additions to your family the last time you suited up,
yeah.
Buddy. You had to go back to November 2018 in Bloomington, Indiana. It's the last time you played meaningful football. So you're right, coming up on a year and a half, almost 2 years for Lorenzo. Jeff did address Lorenzo last week when we spoke. Lorenzo's out there practicing, still not full go, and they want to be careful with him. Of course, he's coming off knee surgery, which is what caused him to miss all of last year. He's a fifth-year senior, and, Jeff, I think, expects him to play, but they're in no hurry to press things at this point. He's got to get in shape, make sure that knee is sound. But, again, Coach Blom said he's still not fully 100% Lorenzo Neal, but, you know, they, like you said, they want to get him to game day all amped up and ready to go, so they still have upwards of 3 weeks to do that.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit of quarterbacks as well. You talked to Brian Brom, the co-offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, late in the week. He's pretty noncommittal, as he tends to be, about the quarterback situation, saying that all three of those guys, Jack Plummer, Aiden O'Connell, and Austin Burton, are getting their share of the reps. You think that's true at this point in training camp? Do you think that, one guy's got to stand out? It seems to me that Plummer's got to be the guy that is getting the early reps as the, starter, right? I mean, it just seems like that's likely the case, but those other two guys got to have an opportunity too.
Yeah, it's nice to have options. You know, I think any coach likes that, likes the competition. And, it's got to sharpen everybody's sword, so to speak. And I think I agree with you, Kyle. I think Jack Plummer's got to be the presumptive number one. I thought it was encouraging. Brian Brom unsolicitedly brought up the fact that Plummer's become more of a vocal leader taken it upon himself to gather teammates up, encourage them unprompted. And that has not gone unnoticed, obviously, because Brian mentioned it. So maybe Jack's got some swagger. And Brian even referenced the fact he thought Jack was more confident just because of the football he's played, the respect he's gained in the locker room. So maybe he's taking some ownership here. But certainly I don't think his talent is far and away superior to Aiden O'Connell, maybe not even Austin Burton. I think they're all talented, but I don't think anybody's head or shoulders over the other. So it's going to be interesting. Maybe we see two quarterbacks early in 2020. Kyle, you know, Aiden O'Connell's not a great athlete. He's trying to improve his footwork, he said. He's got a good arm, maybe the best arm of anybody there. And then, of course, Austin Burton, the UCLA grad transfer, is a wild card. Nice runner, good passer, embodies a lot of the things Jeff Rom would like to see his quarterback become, a guy who can make plays with his feet and stand tall in the pocket. So don't count him out either. It's going to be fun to see this thing sort out.
What's on the agenda this week, Tom? Who are your Zoom interviews with?
we're going more offense this week. Jamarcus Shepherd, I believe, and the wide receivers are up next. Of course, the most talented spot on the roster. No shock there, right? Rondale, David Bell, on and on it goes. The offensive line's up this week too, buddy. We go Tuesday through Friday with interviews. Nobody on Monday today, but the other 4 days we have some position. And the O-line, like I was talking about, Ricky there, maybe the most key spot on the entire team. Got to get more physical up front. Got to be able to run the football, Kyle, when you've got to run the football late in games. When you have leads, you got to run the ball in the red zone. On and on it goes. Are they tougher, better up front? We'll talk to Dale Williams about that this week for sure.
You've been covering football a long time, Tom. This is a little bit different way to cover a football team, isn't it? It has to be a little strange.
Yeah, it is. I think everybody likes standing right in front of somebody when you're talking to them. But it is what it is. You know, we all have to make little sacrifices. My goodness, this isn't a big deal for us. But definitely different. And tell you what, you always have to be adaptable in life if you want to continue to thrive. And it's not ideal, but again, it's nice to talk to these guys, Kyle. And most importantly, buddy, isn't it nice that you and I can actually talk about football now, not Kevin Warren?
Yeah, cheers to that, no doubt. All right, thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of football recruiting as well with Brian. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar. 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs, with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The podcast is being brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcompliment, K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Hey, Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit of training camp, plus we'll hit on some recruiting notes as well. Brian, we have had instances over the last 20 years or so that we haven't seen
seen as many practices heading into a season. This time, I think it's pretty likely that we won't see any practices heading into a season. It does make that first game a little bit more intriguing from just a, I don't know, an X's and O's and scheme and what you see and who you see where perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it might be the most newsworthy first game in the history of college football because everything we see will be seeing for the first time. So it's some random dude is out there starting and we didn't even know he was in the rotation. Then, hey, there's a story. throw in the fact that Purdue's breaking a new defense that we haven't laid our own eyes on and going to be pretty fast. It's going to be pretty fascinating, pretty revelatory, and a rare instance during this pandemic of something that will be really, really compelling to cover. And thank God it's coming now because we've needed it for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Jeff Grom has tended to tell us who the starting quarterback is going to be, I don't know, maybe 10 days before the opener. Will he, in your estimation, do that this year?
I mean, I don't know what benefit you get from not. It's not like I was sitting there, you know, with enough tape on Jack Plummer, enough tape on Aiden O'Connell, and any tape on Austin. Well, you know, obviously they can go back and watch those guys play last year, whether it be at Purdue or UCLA, but it's not like it's going to change things wholesale for Iowa, who's the quarterback at Purdue. You know, there's something – to be said too for, you know, going out there publicly and saying, this is our guy to make sure that, you know, everybody's kind of on the same page here to potentially give that player confidence. However, it's up to the individual coach how they want to handle it, but I don't think there's any huge strategic benefit to keeping that a secret. But, you know, I'm not a coach. I don't think like a coach sometimes. And, I just don't think there's a big enough difference between Jack Plummer, Aiden O'Connell, and potentially Austin Burton to where, you know, you're going to force Iowa to have different things ready.
Right.
So I don't really see what the benefit would be, but that doesn't mean they won't keep it in-house, I guess.
I sort of agree with you on that point that, you know, you want a guy to step forward as the leader, and maybe it's better if people just know who that is, although you could do it by – telling that team. Anyway, let's move on to quarterbacks or a quarterback for a couple of years from now, and that's the 2022 commitment, Brady Allen, who you saw Saturday. What are your thoughts on the young QB?
Well, he's pretty much everything he's been advertised as. I mean, he's sort of your classic central casting sort of pocket passer. I mean, he's 6'5", all of 6'5". He kind of reminds me of Elijah Sindelar a little bit at that age because he's got kind of that towering presence to him. He's got a big, strong body. He's got a big, strong arm. Mm-hmm. He's athletic enough. He comes from that sort of same profile. Seems to throw the ball down the field pretty well. Seems to throw the ball on the run pretty well. Seems to be in command. Seems to Gibson Southern goes really fast on offense. They run kind of a tempo sort of offense, no huddle and whatnot, and he seemed to be in command of that. He seemed to be a pretty poised individual. I think their offense is kind of retooling from last year. I think they lost a lot of weapons on offense, so I think he's still in a bit of a transition phase with those around him. Obviously, this offseason wasn't exactly traditional, so a lot of the stuff, you know, you might have ironed out from a chemistry perspective with your receivers back in the spring and back in the summer was probably a wash. So I think there's still a little bit of incongruity there between him and his wide receivers. But from a physical perspective, from a talent perspective, he seems like everything you want. He seems like a really good kid, a really good teammate, a really positive guy, too, a guy with real leadership potential too, based on what I could tell from seeing one high school football game on a Saturday afternoon in the rain. That's kind of, he seems like he's everything you want.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about some of that intangible stuff. I mean, it's hard to judge that from the sideline. And as you said, watching one game, but just in listening to him, it does seem like he has some of those kind of attributes.
Yeah, I try to pay attention to guys too before the game to see how they interact with their teammates, mm-hmm. to see what kind of energy they have, to see if they're like talking to themselves and acting crazy. You know, sometimes you can tell a lot about a kid how they act before and after the game, and I think that's kind of telling sometimes. And I've seen dudes where it's like, this dude's not right, you know, before the game because he's acting all manic and stuff. And obviously everybody has their own way of going about things, preparing for games. But when you see a quarterback yeah. going all through the roster and, you know, having words with pretty much everybody, fist bumps for everybody and,
mm-hmm.
you know, patting guys on the helmet and stuff like that, guys who aren't necessarily just his receivers, but all through the roster, you know, guys who are talking a lot, clapping a lot, cheering on their teammates and stuff, that stuff's always a positive. I mean, there's not a whole lot of other side to that coin, and that's what you want in your quarterback. You want somebody yeah. that people want to play for, and I think the best leaders at quarterback are kind of that way. And again, insofar as I can tell from one Saturday afternoon in the rain in Brownsburg, Indiana, he seems to have all those kind of intangibles. He seems really smart. He seems like one of those really, really well-refined quarterbacks in the sense that he's probably been raised yeah. to be a quarterback. He's probably been a quarterback his whole life. He probably lives the position. He probably understands the position. He does seem to have a lot of intangibles to him, and that's obviously part of his value.
This week's boiling over, chock full of recruiting information. If you haven't yet had a chance to read it, go to goldenblack.com. Among that, Brian, you pointed out that Jaylen White, the Alabama running back, will soon make a commitment. Seems like Purdue's right in there with Florida and Florida State. That's a spot that Purdue needs a guy still in this class that has maybe a handful, a half dozen, maybe a couple more than that spots remaining.
Yeah, that one's probably a long shot, Jaylen White. But you never know. I mean, I don't know what a long shot is anymore when kids haven't visited anywhere. But
yeah.
I would think that one's probably staying in the Southeast. That doesn't mean Purdue still doesn't need a running back. Obviously, you know, when Purdue lost Brian Threats there in the summer after they had him for a couple months, that kind of put them back in the market for running back. They've got some good young ones in the program, but I don't think you have so many of them that you can't skip the position this year in recruiting. They would like to get Marquise Irving, the Minnesota commit, who's cousins with quarterback commit Sam Jackson. That would be the one guy I think I'd probably pay closest attention to. Don't know what he's going to do. There's not going to be really any good avenue for information on that one. But Purdue's in on a couple other guys too. And, you know, the other part of this recruiting cycle is that you have this whole fall to kind of revisit a lot of guys or discover a lot of guys that you didn't see during the summer because there were no camps, there were no combines, any of that stuff. So it's conceivable too, Purdue find somebody late. They've done that a couple times over the years where they got in on Kingaroo relatively late. They got the kid from Georgia a couple years ago late, Evan Anderson. They discovered him. There's so many damn players in Georgia that happens sometimes. So it's conceivable, too, that Purdue finds somebody through the course of this year, too, to add to this mix. But definitely have to have a running back.
So when you watch on TV, Brian, some of these schools in the South, social distancing seems to be an option in the stands. I mean, the Georgia game, for instance, felt like that place seemed packed. They cannot have unofficial visitors, right? I mean, it seems like you could get by that just by putting some kids in the stands, but they're not supposed to, correct?
As far as I know, it's just a dead period across the board. A lot goes into that. It's yeah. not just the game management, but it's also the coaches having to worry about it when they have so much else to worry about. With the Georgia thing, I saw that photo where it looked like all those students were right on top of one another, but I also saw photos from up where
yeah.
they were spread out pretty good. So I wonder if that one photo that was bouncing around Twitter wasn't kind of like a bad camera angle or something like that.
Right.
But from a recruiting perspective, yeah, I mean, it's – you would think that you could make an allowance to have a recruiter to limited capacity with some, you know, obvious protocols in place for their visits. But at the same time, you don't really want to ask recruits and their families to engage in interstate travel at this point because you don't know. I think
yeah.
every family is still – kind of feeling their way around this thing too. You don't want to compel them to have to do that either.
Right.
Because a lot of families probably just aren't going to want to, and you don't want to encourage families to take, what they might perceive as risks because they don't want to, mm-hmm. they don't want to put their kids' future in terms
right.
of recruiting in jeopardy if they don't. So
yeah.
a lot more goes into this than just kind of having them on campus, having them in the stands.
Right.
But it is a really sticky issue because, you're sitting here running around the risk of the 2021 class just getting screwed on all this and just not having a recruiting
yeah.
experience.
Yeah. All right, man, out of time. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
See you. Let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that next on Golden Black Radio. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, sell, buy, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217 or email kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahms squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
More on Purdue recruiting and boiling over at goldenblack.com. Be sure to check that out today. Much more coverage of training camp as we're, just a few weeks away now, finally, from the start of Purdue's 2020 season. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Back same time with a new download next week. Thanks to our sponsors, Home Field Apparel, East End Grill, JFQ Lending, Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the 60th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. For Tom Deanhart and Brian Ubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.